From Raquel, who listens to us via WASR radio in New Hampshire. She's asking, we're planning a trip to Europe and it looks like we'll get better deals and it'll be more convenient staying near train stations. Is this true and is this where you'd stay?
Well, I'd say it's more convenient if you're using the reliable train system in Europe. And yes, you'll likely find better deals, but you'll also find less desirable accommodations and those areas are not always as safe. We prefer to stay in boutique or unique mainstream properties that are located in quaint neighborhoods when in Europe so we can immerse with the local culture, enjoy local restaurants, shops, markets, or parks that don't attract as many tourists.
And since European cities are easy to navigate, we don't mind walking or catching a taxi or a bus. We'd say find a place away from the train stations. For more information or to contact us anytime, visit rmworldtravel.com.
Happy travels.
If you've got aches, pains, and soreness, it could be chronic inflammation. Listen to what Georgia has to say about Relief Factor.
Over the years, I've had several injuries. I have had lots of pain, and it's been hard for me to exercise. Now, I'm much more active, so I'm losing weight, and I feel better. I would recommend it to anyone.
For more information about Relief Factor and the two-week quick start for just $19.95, go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com.
5:05, no relief from us, at least not for the next 2 hours. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, KGYM in Eastern Iowa, and 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. We had somebody call in during the break asking about the women's selection show for the women's NCAA tournament. That is 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Iowa and Drake will both be in the women's field. There is some speculation that the Iowa women could be headed to Knoxville, Tennessee. Could have somebody, a man on the ground, if that takes place. Would you be interested? No. 5:06. Plenty more to get to tonight. Who's your Cinderella in this year's NCAA tournament? We're going to get to that coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, let's look west to the desert. Our man on the strip, that's what we're calling you today, Mac, even though you strike me as an old downtown Vegas type of guy every once in a while. Mac McCausland with us to break down the NCAA bracket. And how are things? What's the temperature in Las Vegas right now?
Las Vegas temperature, I think we said it was like 70, 71. But when you're in the sun, feels more like 75. And right now, Vegas is hopping.
Yeah, I don't know how much time I'd want to be spending in the sun right now. I would be holed up at a sports book looking at opening lines and looking to see which 12-5 game looks to be the most favorable. What were your thoughts watching the selection show as far as how the selection committee did in giving us 68 teams this year?
Well, I think when you really look at it, the one side of it is the Oklahoma team getting in. I mean, I get people don't like it, and I get people think they should be in. But the other side of it is, and I text this out or tweeted it out, tell me how you can make this better. You know, bring me your complaint. Tell me you don't like it. Tell me it's not fair. Tell me we ought to do this, we ought to do that. Then give me the answer of how we can get 68 teams that are pretty good. And I still think, I mean, in the end, whether Oklahoma gets in or gets out, isn't going to make a difference in the tournament. They will not be in the Final Four.
And on that same breath, though, I'll give you the opposing view. How is Oklahoma State not in this tournament? That is a team with a similar resume. They beat Kansas twice. They beat West Virginia on the road. And, oh, by the way, they trounced Oklahoma just a few days ago. And then, on the other hand, Virginia, the number one overall seed, gets a region with Cincinnati, Arizona, Kentucky, and Tennessee. That kind of boggles my mind a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you on both of them. I mean, I think Oklahoma State should be in over Oklahoma, but they're not. So you got to just say, hey, that's the way the committee went. And I do know Bruce Rasmussen pretty well from Creighton. And, you know, I think he explained it, but it didn't explain it to me to make me satisfied. And then you go ahead and you look at Virginia. I think that was a very poor seed in terms of, yeah, they got number one, but they probably got probably three, if not four, of the toughest top eight or nine teams to beat. So I'm still upset about that. And I don't like the fact Kansas got number one. I think Michigan State could have, should have. I mean, they were, three seed, right?
Yes.
And, yeah, and you look at Purdue. They could have moved. I'm just not sold on this Kansas team as being a high-level KU team.
All right, Mac, question I ask of you every year, which team is underseeded? Where could we find some value here? You think the committee may have not given enough respect to somebody?
I think you better look at one of the opponents for the Big Ten, South Dakota State. I think they are a well-drilled team, pass the ball well. They've got shooters. And I think that matchup, Ohio State, to me right now, is pretty much just a one-man team with Deion.
And I looked at that one too. So I look at Ohio State and I was wondering, okay, well, they were kind of the forgotten team from the Big Ten heading into this tournament. And when you see those 12-5 upsets, you see a team that can shoot the ball, South Dakota State, and a team with kind of guard play lacking in Ohio State. That looks like one of those classic 5-12 upset matchups.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, since I am in Las Vegas and I can look at a sheet, Ohio State is an 8-point favorite. And for me, I think you jump on that and even the money line to say South Dakota State could win that game.
Hold on. I need to go find a Western Union office very quick. Mac McCausland joining us from Las Vegas as we take a look at the NCAA tournament bracket. The fun gets kicked off tomorrow with two of the first four games. Any strong opinions on Steve Alford's UCLA squad going up against St. Bonnie's tomorrow?
Well, you know, I guess I'd have to look and say, when you look at Power Five, UCLA should win that. And one of the other games, I really think Syracuse should come out of the play-in game.
Yeah, the Syracuse-Arizona State game, the Wednesday late game on True TV. Which Big Ten team has the, well, you mentioned that you like South Dakota State, so I can't ask you the toughest first-round matchup, but which Big Ten team has the easiest opening matchup then?
Well, I think you got to go with, you know, Michigan State. I really think they can march out to at least the Elite Eight and then see what happens.
Let's talk about them getting to the Elite Eight, because if they get to the Elite Eight, I think almost assuredly they're going to play a very talented Duke team, a team with a lot of size, a lot of athleticism, and a lot of depth, just like they have, but a team that doesn't turn the ball over as much as they have. They played earlier in the season, I think on November the 14th, Michigan State lost by 7. Can Sparty withstand a team like Duke?
I think so. I think there's a couple things. One is their defense, I think, is better than Duke's, obviously, even though they've gone to a zone that's been pretty good. And then I'm going to put in there what I'll call the Grayson factor. I think he did not help himself or the Duke team with his actions the last, whatever it was, 3-4 days. So now I think officials, like it or not, they're still human. They will look and make sure that he is doing things without a basketball advantage.
Mac McCausland joining us from Las Vegas. Which one seed is in trouble, in your opinion, looking at the path to the Final Four?
Kansas. I just think they're you know, they can move out, obviously, with Penn. But then Seton Hall and North Carolina State are both hot and cold teams. So, you know, if they end up hot, that's going to be a problem. And then you go to Auburn, and I really think Auburn is probably underrated at four.
Why is Houston, a sixth seed in the West, getting so much love this year?
I'll tell you, when you watch them, they're pretty good. In fact, they're not pretty good. They are very good. And I think that sixth seed, when you look at Wichita State and you look at Cincinnati and then you go to Houston, you're going to have to tell me what the difference is between those three. I mean, you can say Cincinnati is good on defense. You can say that Wichita State is good on offense. And I'm not so sure the best balanced team isn't Houston out of that group.
Now, I want to go back to Virginia, the number one overall seed in the tournament. And they've had an outstanding year, going from unranked in the first AP poll to number one in the country in the final AP poll. They've lost only two games all season. But this is a team, Tony Bennett's done a great job, but they've had trouble getting over the hump, still looking for that elusive Final Four. In that region, as tough as it is that we just discussed earlier, can this be the year, or are they just up against too many good teams in their own region?
I mean, some of the talking heads have talked about all those teams they have to go against. Well, Virginia doesn't have to go against all those teams, because Arizona and Kentucky probably will meet. So they don't have to go against both of them. They just got to beat one of them. And then, you know, you go to the other bracket with Tennessee and Cincinnati, and they're not going to have to play both of them. You only got to play one of them. So as Virginia moves out, I just really think this is as good a team as Tony Bennett has had. And like we said, I mean, they're not going to have to play both Kentucky and Arizona. It's just one of them in the Sweet 16. And then you move on, and then you see who else is there. I mean, it could be Nevada. And people go, oh, that's easy. Well, yeah, it could be easy. And you still got Tennessee. You still got Cincinnati. It's only going to be one team that comes out of that group.
All right, there are no Iowa teams in the tournament this year, but there are at least three at first glance that have Iowa ties. We touched on a fourth one with South Dakota State, so I won't mention them. Let's go ahead and start with the eight seed in the South, and that's Greg McDermott's Creighton Blue Jays. They draw Kansas State in the 8-9 game right out of the bat with Virginia as a possible second-round opponent. Your thoughts on Creighton?
I mean, obviously Creighton has played in the Big East. Probably as good a conference, top to bottom, as there is. Probably as good a conference as there is to win a game on the road. I mean, you win on the road there, that's pretty good. But I do like Bruce Weber. Always liked his defense, always liked his tenacity. And I think Coach McDermott may have a lot of problems with K-State.
All right. Former Iowa assistant Lavelle Jordan, in his first year at Butler, has the Bulldogs as a 10 seed, taking on Arkansas in the East region. Purdue looms on the horizon in round two. What do you think of the Bulldogs? A lot of people are going to look and go, oh, Butler, popular pick every year NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, I think they are, like you say, a popular type choice. I think Arkansas is very good. As we know, they do a lot of the old pressure game that they've had there, you know, 40 minutes of hell. But the thing that will concern me a little bit, you know, just Lavelle being a first-year coach in this position, and I don't think they really have a star player like they've had in the past. I think they'll have trouble, and I think Arkansas wins that game.
And the last game with Iowa ties, and I understand I purposely omitted UCLA because it's a first four game. My man, Bruce Pearl, got Auburn, a four seed, taking on Charleston in the Midwest region. San Diego, the location for that game. Bruce Pearl did a nice job, especially given how this season began with the cloud of controversy around Auburn.
Yeah, I really think, and you know Bruce, I know Bruce, I think his intensity and his vocalism, communication skills got to these players, so they understood it's just all about them. It's all about the SEC. Then it's all about the SEC tournament. Then it's all about the NCAA. It would not surprise me that they advance literally to the Final Four, but for sure the Elite Eight.
We talked about the AAC a couple of times ago when we had you on, Mac, and you mentioned Cincinnati and Wichita State. And I look at Wichita State, and it's interesting because they're matched up in the Villanova region. But this is a team that doesn't quite – it's not the prototypical Wichita State team. Their defense hasn't been as great, but their offense has been one of the best offenses in the country. Can this team make a run, or is Villanova going to be too much for them? Or West Virginia?
You know, it won't surprise me that Wichita plays Villanova as you move out on the lines. What I found interesting, and I didn't know it until last weekend or 10 days ago, that Wichita State had taken something like 13 timeouts the whole year. 13, whatever the number was, plus or minus a couple. I'm going, that's a coach that has so much confidence in his players, and the players know what they're supposed to do. They can just play the game. And I think that is a little bit surprising to an opponent when they go, they should be taking a timeout, or why aren't we doing this? Why aren't they doing that? So I think that's a little bit of a different style for Marshall. And, I mean, as you guys know, I really, really like the guy. And I think he can get his team, this is probably the best offensive, defensive team he's had.
What's on tap for dinner tonight? Are we going to the Italian joint that you're always pushing me toward out there?
Yes, Mastrione's. I will be there at 8 o'clock our time. Sorry, past your bedtime, 10 o'clock there. But yes, Mastrione's got reservations. I will be there. Tonight may be fish, garlic on top of it, and then have a little Caesar salad.
All right. Well, we'll allow you to stray from the chips and salsa because you'll be consuming a lot of them here over the next several days, and starting tomorrow with the first of the two play-in games, the first-round games, I should say, in Dayton. Mac McCausland, our man on the strip in Las Vegas. We appreciate it.
Going to New Orleans tomorrow night to watch the opening rounds.
All right, Mac, and we'll check in with you. I think we'll check in with you throughout the tournament. Our listeners enjoy hearing your thoughts, even though the Hawkeyes are out of things at this point. Have fun.
You know I will. And let me know if you want black or red, even or odd.
Yeah. How late does that Western Union office stay open? 5:23. We'll step aside and take a quick break. Always great catching up with Mac, who absolutely loves this time of year, unlike any other person that I know. He lives for March Madness. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you. We will find out in about 45 minutes, hopefully, where the Iowa women are headed for the NCAA tournament, and maybe Megan Gustafson can put that chip on her shoulder and checked baggage and lead the Hawkeyes to victory in the opening round of the NCAA tournament game. Knoxville has been the bracketology prediction for Iowa. Jenny Lillis, now Jenny Baranchik, also has the Drake Bulldogs in the NCAA tournament. And speaking of the Drake, the men, a winner earlier today in the CIT. That was a 1 o'clock tip-off at the Knapp Center. Free admission for everybody. Hopefully they had a good crowd there. It took overtime for the Bulldogs to win. Kyle will have the details for you coming up on our next Big Board update. 5:23, who's your Cinderella in this NCAA tournament field this year? We're going to talk about it next. Back with more after this.
For all those times you wish you would have known. Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, Dupaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all Dupaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through Dupaco's online banking or app. Not a Dupaco member? Join today in branch or online at dupaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
You guys want to do it?
Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
There are still companies that care. Companies that have your back. Companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
You could win $500 in the I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at kgymradio.com. I'm On Communications, your local choice for internet, cable TV, and phone.
You absolutely can. It's very simple. Just go to kgymradio.com, find the link, follow the instructions. The password is madness, and somebody is going to walk away with $500. Nobody in this studio is eligible. I hate to break that to everybody, but que sera, sera. However, we did find out that IMON employees are eligible. We solved that mystery last week. No thanks to the meddling kids. Kyle is with us. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Postseason honors continue to come in for Iowa's Megan Gustafson. Today, she was named a third-team All-American by ESPNW. She broke a handful of records this season, including Iowa's single-season scoring record, her own single-season rebounding record, the single-season Big Ten Player of the Week awards record, and also a Big Ten tournament record with 48 points in a single game. Gustafson and the Hawkeyes, as well as Drake and the Bulldog women, are going to be interested to see where they're going to be seated in the NCAA tournament. You can see that game at the same time, or see that selection show today at 6 on ESPN. Iowa baseball flew out to Vegas for a weekend series with 23rd-ranked UNLV, and the Hawkeyes got swept in three games by a combined score of 28-5. The finale yesterday was tied at 3, heading to the 6th, and Coach Rick Heller said it was a step in the right direction, although the 13-3 final wouldn't show it. Iowa falls to 8-5 and will get back to it against Missouri State and Kansas City on Wednesday. There's one major state university playing postseason basketball, and today Drake took down Abilene Christian in the first round of the CIT, 80-73. Ori Arugundade led with 25 points, and Nick McGlynn had 22. There were still champions to be crowned at the boys' state basketball tournament when we got off the air on Friday, and future UNI Panther A.J. Green led his Cedar Falls team to a 65-45 victory over Iowa City West. He had 24 points and 9 rebounds, both of which were game highs. So for the 2018 season, Cedar Falls is your champion in 4A, Glenwood in 3A, Cascade in 2A, and Grandview Christian in 1A.
All right, who is your personal Cinderella this year? 319-366-1600. Every year, people take a look at the bracket and fall in love with a team or read something along the way where they think this team could probably have a little juice behind them. We want to know who your Cinderella team is, and this is not crowdsourcing, but it sort of could be, I guess, for folks who are looking for information in putting together their own brackets. I have one. Alex has one. We'll share them with you when we return. Again, kgymradio.com, the place to go not only to enter the bracket challenge, but you can vote in our poll question while you're there as well. Today, it's sponsored by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. How did you feel about this year's selection show? I have a feeling, even without looking at the results, at least judging by the reaction on Twitter last night, I already know how most of the people are voting. Again, classic example of if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think people kind of liked the selection show the way that it was. But I understand you got TV partners. You got to keep them happy. We're not partnering with TV just yet. That's coming up on Wednesday. We'll be on KGAN. We're going to keep it right here on the radio. Keep it real with you. Who's your Cinderella? Tell us next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
You'll find more and more companies in the IT business charging a flat rate to their client each month, but we don't have that here. I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. We would never charge somebody just to have a relationship with them, only for services that we provide, because we really value the relationship that we have with our clients.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. The Bills traded left tackle Cordy Glenn to the Bengals. Teams also swapped first-round draft picks. Buffalo now with 2 first, 2 second, and 2 third-round picks, positioning itself to make a possible run at a quarterback in the upcoming draft. The Raiders cut cornerback Sean Smith as he's set to plead guilty tomorrow to a felony assault charge and then be sentenced to 1 year in prison. Rockets guard James Harden expected back from a sore knee tonight versus the Spurs, 8 Eastern, ESPN TV. San Antonio's dropped 10 of 13, currently 7th in the West. Kawhi Leonard could return from a quads injury soon. He will help the Spurs in one big way when he does, explains ESPN's Mark Jackson.
He is a special talent, and he will take pressure off of LaMarcus Aldridge on the offensive end, giving him another guy to create, and also defensively. You're talking about an elite former defensive player of the year. So his presence alone will make them a better basketball team. They need him back, and they need him back fast.
The madness is here. Sign up for ESPN's Tournament Challenge on ESPN.com or download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your brackets. Check out the Tournament Challenge Marathon currently on ESPN.
Hey, it's the Gap. Join us Tuesday. Greg Cody's our guest co-host. Marty Smith going to join us. Hank Azaria will join us. Ron McGill will talk animals. And Chris Sims will join us to tell us his 7th best quarterback in the NFL. That's Tuesday in the Dan Le Batard Show with me, Stu Gatz, on ESPN Radio.
Hey guys, your prostate should be the last thing on your mind, but the fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart, visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 12 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards Program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or Synthetic High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $28.99 or upgrade to a Mobile One Filter for $3 more. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
You check things all the time, like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit, compare your card. Go to discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
Welcome back in. 5:34, the halfway point. I can say that tonight because we're on until 7 o'clock. The Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on all three KGYM frequencies, 1600 AM, all across eastern Iowa. You've got 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, all options on how you can listen to the program. But did you know that you can also listen to us streaming online at kgymradio.com? That is absolutely 100% accurate. Food for thought there. We got a great show for you. We're going to hear from former Iowa standout and BTN basketball analyst Jess Settles coming up to kick off hour number three. This is the only show this week where we're on until 7 o'clock tomorrow and Wednesday due to the first four games in Dayton, Ohio. We will be out at 5:30 so that you can hear both of those contests. And then Thursday and Friday, we are giving the people what they want. And that's the NCAA tournament over local programming. So I've always thought you could go one of two ways on that. You could do the program simultaneously with the games on one of the other frequencies. And then as much fun as that would be, because I have listened to other hosts, basically they're watching the same games that you are and they're sharing their thoughts in real time. And it's sort of this running dialogue, and as much fun as that would be. And then the other side of me goes, people aren't going to listen to the radio and local programming. They're going to be watching the game. So I understand. And I love this. I love the fact that we don't have to worry about talking into an echo chamber where nobody's paying attention that day, because you got to know what you're up against there. And plus, you guys, I think, men and women who listen to this station would rather listen to the games, whether you're in the car or at work or out and about, wherever you are. So Thursday and Friday, Westwood One, they do a fantastic job with their whip-around coverage going from game to game and venue to venue. I mean, it really is, next to being there, one of the best ways that you can keep up on all of the action. The bracket came out last night. Alex, people were complaining about the format. I was kind of excited about this, knowing in the first 10 minutes of the show who the teams that were in the field were going to be. I still think the old format is probably better. It's a selection show. It's not grade A Oscar-worthy cinema one way or the other. But now that the bracket is out and we've had roughly 12 hours or so to digest, and by the way, on the subject of brackets being released, the women's NCAA tournament bracket will be released beginning at the top of the hour on ESPN. Best of luck to Lisa Bluder and the Hawkeyes. They will find out where they're going to open tournament play, as will former Hawkeye Jenny Lillis. Now Jenny Baranchek, the head coach of the Drake Bulldogs, both Drake and Iowa, headed to the women's tournament. The men's bracket, you take a look. Who are some of the teams that you think could play Cinderella this year? 319-366-1600. Alex, give me a team. Not to have you give away your entire bracket here, but who do you have your eye on?
I'm going to give you one ultimate upset pick right here.
Okay.
Do you remember the name Thomas Walkup?
No.
See, Thomas Walkup was a player 2 years ago for the Lumberjacks of Stephen F. Austin when Brad Underwood was the head coach.
SFA.
And they absolutely destroyed West Virginia in that first round. There was a 14-3 matchup. I think they won by 15 or 20 points. And then they took, I think it was Notre Dame in the second round, down to the wire. And at 28-6 this year, they're within 1 point of Mizzou in the non-conference. They lost 82-81, and Quanzo Martin, after the game, went into SFA's locker room and applauded how good of a team they are. They lost by 5 on the road at Mississippi State, who is a high-level NIT team. This is a team that's been there before. This is a team that at 28-6 seems to be fairly underseeded, and they're going up against a Texas Tech team that is somewhat limping into the NCAA tournament. So if you're looking for a dartboard situation, or you are in Vegas looking at these matchups, I think SFA could very well win that game, but at the very least make life very difficult on Texas Tech, because I think they're a very good team.
If you missed it earlier with Mac McCausland, and we're going to, I have a feeling, hear the same thing from Jeff Settles coming up in hour number three. There's a lot of love out there right now for TJ Otzelberger and South Dakota State. They open against Ohio State, and I know you and I touched on this a little bit earlier. What's the most important thing this time of year for a team?
Guards.
And where is a possible Achilles heel for Ohio State? I kind of feel wishy-washy on this, because I feel like we've talked out of both sides of our mouth on Ohio State. We've complained that this is a team that nobody's talking about. The other three Big Ten teams get plenty of analysis. But then when you do want to talk about Ohio State, you look and go, well, they kind of lack in the one area. And you heard Mac, Diop, it's a one-horse team. Can South Dakota State, TJ Otzelberger, pull off a 12-5 upset in round one? 319-366-1600. Davidson and Kentucky, you think, this is opposite of Cinderella, you say Davidson has no chance in that game. They're a 6-point underdog right now in Las Vegas.
Davidson is a fine story. Every year they make it to the NCAA tournament, other than the years that they had Steph Curry, because he was a one-man wrecking crew. I mean, he made that team as within 5 or 6 points of anybody just because of who he was.
It's a shame he was a great college player and never did anything in the NBA. But, oh, I'm sorry, that was Adam Morrison.
Yeah. Think about Davidson a couple years ago against Iowa. What about Iowa gave Davidson so many issues? It was a size. They were undersized, and Iowa just made them look like a JV team. As much as they shot, as well as they shot the ball, it didn't matter because they couldn't get a shot off. And you looked at that Iowa team, yeah, they have good size and pretty good athleticism, but this Kentucky team is a whole different animal. And they hadn't played well all season. And all of a sudden, Kevin Knox, who's going to be a top 10 pick, and Muhammad Diallo, and all of these guys are starting to play well, and they have depth, and they started making shots. They started making threes. They started making mid-range shots over the weekend, and they look like the best team in the SEC, and they won the tournament. And they went through a pretty tough gauntlet of teams. They had to beat Colin Sexton in Alabama, and then they had to beat a very good Tennessee team. So I looked at them and I said, I remember when they were and I think it was 35-30 who brought up when they were seeded eighth a few years back, and they drew an undefeated Wichita State team in the second round, and they were kind of flying under the radar, and they weren't playing well going into the tournament, and all of a sudden they turned it on. And they got all the way to the national championship game that year as an 8 seed and eventually lost to UConn. And I look at Kentucky this year, they could do the same. Unfortunately, they have to play Arizona in the second round, a team with just as much talent as they have.
Okay, while we're talking about Cinderellas, let's get to a team that we've spent a little bit of time on the fringe discussing because of the conference that it plays in. And that's Porter Mosier's Loyola Ramblers. They were the regular season and MVC tournament champion this year. They're an 11 seed, and they draw Miami in an 11-6 matchup. Is that a bad matchup for Loyola? Because that was a team that we had talked, hey, let's see where they fall on the bracket. They could be a problem for somebody.
No, I think it was good. I think it was a pretty good draw. They don't get a team that shoots the ball all that well. They get to try to outshoot a team, and that's where you see these upsets. And they avoided the 12 line. They moved up to an 11 line, and right now I have the Ramblers advancing into the second round.
You've got Loyola over Miami.
I do.
A little bit of Coon insight there. Are they taking on Tennessee or Wright State in round two? Tennessee, I think, has an opportunity to maybe be an Elite Eight team this year. I don't know what it is about Rick Barnes' squad, but he's got them playing some pretty good basketball. And the SEC is a basketball conference that I think you look and you've got the thoroughbreds there, but The SEC is a very, very strong basketball conference. It was this year. As top heavy and overall weak as the Big Ten was perceived, I think the SEC was just solid all around. The SEC and the Big 12, in my opinion, there's not much separating those two conferences. I tend to give the nod to the Big 12, and you certainly look at Kansas as a one seed out of the Big 12. I keep going back to this Oklahoma State. I'd call it a debacle. I mean, we thought Oklahoma okay with Trae Young, the politics of having the best player in college basketball, and they're sort of a borderline bubble team. Okay, they go to Dayton to maybe get people to watch games. Oklahoma's in as a 10 seed. I mean, you tell me, are they in it for the long run, or is this a team that's going to quickly be exposed as one that shouldn't be listed on the bracket in the first place? They open against the Rhode Island Rams.
I think they're going to have a lot of trouble against Rhode Island. I think they'll be out in the first round. And that's what I have right now.
I said that about Syracuse a couple years ago.
Agreed. And they played
in the rear end.
They played an Atlantic 10 team in Dayton, and they easily dispatched of Dayton before moving on. But I watched this Oklahoma team, and there's no life left in them. There is nothing left in that team. And I know they're playing against a Big 12 schedule, but they are. You talk about Ohio State being a one-man team. Oklahoma is a one-man team, and unfortunately that one man is hitting a little bit of a wall. Still a great player, but his production has gone way down.
Something else that bugs me every year with the bracket, at least since they started the first four games in Dayton, is that when you look at the two 6-11 games, more often than not, one of those 11s is able to pull off the upset. So I'm going to ask you, and again, I envision thousands of listeners to the program hovering over their brackets right now, waiting for Alex's call on which one of these is Florida or TCU in more trouble. Florida will have either Steve Alford's UCLA Bruins or St. Bonaventure. Everybody's rooting for the Bonnies in Eastern Iowa, right? Come on, you're with me. Or TCU, they've got Arizona State or Syracuse. I think I know the answer. I think you're going to say TCU. Which team is in more trouble with the 11 they'll face?
I think both of them are in trouble.
You think both?
I think both of them could very well be in trouble.
There's your Law and Order twist, folks.
I look at UCLA, and how many times are we talking about Steve Alford when his team is... It's not expected to get out of the first round. I think a couple years ago, they were the 11 seed against SMU, and somehow...
That's hard.
Somehow got past SMU. I think it was a terrible call at the end that got him into the second round. But he's always finding these easy draws in the tournament, and I think he has another one. TCU's a solid team. They can score points, but they still are without one of their best players in Jalen Fisher for the season, and I don't know if they're going to be able to stop UCLA. And on the other side of the bracket, I think that it's going to be very difficult for Florida, who has had some warts this season. They were a team that lost to Loyola early on in the year. Loyola is an 11 seed, and Arizona State, Syracuse. Arizona State is a team that was number 3 in the country earlier in the year. And I think that a lot of people had them out of the tournament. They're going to be a team that has a chip on their shoulder, and Florida will lose to UCLA. So I got those mixed up, but the same thing applies to both of them. They're 6 seeds, and they're taking on what is going to be a Power 5 11 seed that early on in the season had a lot of accolades, faltered during the course of their regular season schedule, and they're two Pac-12 teams.
Steve Alford's UCLA squad, by the way, had a couple tough games in the Pac-12 conference tournament, and the overtime game against Arizona on Friday. They are flying today to Dayton, and I've got to wonder how disappointed he is to be going to Dayton. I don't think any coach is too happy about it, but I'm looking here. I forgot to look last night to see whether he was complaining about it in the media or not, but I'll be tuned into that game for a number of reasons. But St. Bonaventure was a team that I kind of had my eye on as a team that could maybe sort of be a thorn in somebody's side if they wound up not in Dayton, if they didn't have to play that extra game. So we'll see whether or not they can get past UCLA or not. So you think both sixes. TCU is a team that I think we've talked a lot about here on the airwaves in Eastern Iowa, partly due to the fact that they played Iowa in the NIT last year, and we gave Jamie Dixon's team a lot of love in their matchups against the Cyclones this year. Yeah, I think TCU may be a team that gets overrated a little bit, at least in this listening area.
And they have not been in this position either. This will be every player on that team's first NCAA tournament experience. And that is something that cannot be overstated, especially against a team, whether it's Arizona State or Syracuse, that have been there.
It's a tough spot, by the way, because you're looking at most likely playing Michigan State in the second round and then Duke in the Sweet 16. So not exactly a great draw for TCU. We're going to, in hour number three, after we chat with Jeff Settles, take a look at the four Big Ten teams who are in the tournament and figure out which one has the, I don't want to say the path of least resistance, but the team that may be in the best shape moving forward. If you listen to Mac McCausland, or if you missed Mac, he thinks Ohio State could be in trouble with South Dakota State. And I think you look at a lot of, every year, people focus on the 12-5 matchups. You've got Davidson and Kentucky. You threw that one out already and said, don't even bother. Kentucky's going to win. So that's down to South Dakota State, Ohio State. And then in the East region, the 12-5 is West Virginia, Murray State, which I think could be one of the most entertaining games of the first 2 days. That is going to be interesting to see what Bob Huggins can do against Steve Prohm's former school. And Clemson, New Mexico State.
That's an interesting one, too.
I don't know enough about either one of those two teams to make a judgment, of course. I don't know enough about pretty much anything I talk about on this program, so I don't know what's stopping me from offering a hot take on Clemson and New Mexico State, but I'm going to refrain.
What I do know is New Mexico State has been there before. I know a lot of people will look at the Western Athletic Conference and not recognize it anymore. You used to have teams like Hawaii or San Diego State in it, but New Mexico State is the class of that conference. They've been there before. They're on that 12 line, and Clemson is reeling from an injury.
319-366-1600. Give us your Cinderella this year on the Hertin and Stocker text line. Hertin and Stocker, located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. They're Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. 552, we'll take a quick timeout, inching ever closer to finding out where the Iowa women will be playing their NCAA tournament basketball game. Kyle has updates for you on our next Big Board update, which is just minutes away. Back with more after this.
You know that Iowa City is the epicenter of wrestling. Now it's time to show the world. The 2018 Freestyle World Cup is coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena April 7th and 8th. This is your chance to see not only the best in the United States, but the best in the world. Team USA will lay it on the line against the top seven wrestling countries in the world in this team competition. For ticket information, visit WorldCupIowaCity.com or call 1-800-IA-HAWKS.
Between work, soccer practice, and everything else, I don't have time to keep track of the number of times I use my debit card, go to a certain ATM, or how many bills I pay online each month. I'm a good customer. How about a good reward?
First Federal Credit Union has a checking solution for your busy lifestyle. It's no strings checking. You earn 5% APY on your first $500 balance. No other conditions. No monthly fee, no minimum balance, no strings. You deserve a credit union that puts you first. Learn more at firstfedcu.com. Member NCUA.
Hi, I'm Drew, Division President at Reinhardt Food Service in Cedar Rapids. And Reinhardt is looking to hire Class A CDL drivers. Our average driver makes $65,000 a year, has outstanding benefits, and is home every night for dinner. And right now, we're offering a $7,500 sign-on bonus to join our team. So call today at 319-390-7481 or apply directly at rfshires.com. rfshires.com.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back in. 5:54. Former Cedar Rapids Colonel Bobby Wilson hitting a two-run homer in the second inning to give the Twins a 2-0 lead over the Yankees. Just a reminder to our baseball fans, A, it's a fake game. Spring training stats don't count. But B, you can hear the Twins all summer long on 107.5 FM, our North Gym frequency. Very excited to have them back on the airwaves with us. And the Twins, one of those teams over the weekend that went out and spent a little money bringing Lance Lynn in on a one-year, $12 million deal. This after he reportedly turned down a two-year, $20 million deal from the team. Jake Arrieta signing a three-year deal with the Phillies. Interesting times afoot as spring training draws to a close. Let's send things over. Our final update of the hour, Midwest One Bank, bringing you this big board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Postseason honors continue to come in for Iowa's Megan Gustafson. Today she was named a third-team All-American by ESPNW. She broke a handful of records this season, including Iowa's single-season scoring record, her own single-season rebounding record, the single-season Big Ten Player of the Week awards record, and also a Big Ten tournament record with 48 points in a single game. Gustafson and the Hawkeyes, as well as the Drake Bulldog women, are eager to find out where they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. We're just minutes away from that happening, and you can see that on ESPN beginning at 6. Iowa baseball flew out to Vegas for a weekend series with 23rd-ranked UNLV, and the Hawkeyes got swept in three games by a combined score of 28-5. The finale yesterday was tied at 3 heading to the 6th, and Coach Rick Heller said it was a step in the right direction, although the 13-3 final wouldn't show it. Iowa falls to 8-5 and will get back to it against Missouri State and Kansas City on Wednesday. There's one major state university playing postseason basketball, and today Drake took down Abilene Christian in the first round of the CIT 80-73. Ori Arugundade led with 25 points, and Nick McGlynn had 22. There were still champions to be crowned at the boys' state basketball tournament when we got off the air on Friday, and future UNI Panther A.J. Green led his Cedar Falls team to a 65-45 victory over Iowa City West with 24 and 9 rebounds, both of which were game highs. So for your 2018 season, Cedar Falls is your champion in 4A, Glenwood in 3A, Cascade in 2A, and Grandview Christian in 1A.
By the way, congratulations going out to both Kirkwood basketball coaches, Kim Moule on the girls' side and Brian Peterson with the boys, named the ICCAC Coaches of the Year. Especially on the women's side, Coach Moule doing a fantastic job getting that team to a 31-3 record, so a little love here for the Kirkwood Eagles on a Monday edition of the Todd Brummel Camp Show. Lots to get to. Hour number three is going to kick off right around the corner. We'll have former Hawkeye standout and current BTN analyst Jess Settles. He's going to stop by. We'll run down the four Big Ten teams that are in the tournament, maybe discuss a little Nebraska basketball with him as well. The Huskers, despite going 13-5 in conference play this year, they didn't have an outstanding out-of-conference win, and the Big Ten schedule maker, a.k.a. the computer, did them no favors this year by giving them a Big Ten schedule that featured some of the heavy hitters only once. So Nebraska instead goes to the NIT, where the Huskers will be a number 5 seed and have to hit the road early on. I think it's a good NIT tournament, NIT field this year, by the way. I didn't do too much of a deep dive into the teams. I like Middle Tennessee State. Thought that was a team that could have made some noise in the NCAA tournament had they not been bounced out of their conference tournament. 2 hours down, one to go. The 6 o'clock hour starts with Jess Settles next. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. Here we go.